morning and happy Easter. Easter is one of the most, one of my most favorite celebrated holidays of all of them. Come on. We celebrate Christmas and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and that is a great way that we celebrate. We do the gift thing, we do everything. But Easter's got a special feeling about it, because with the birth of Christ and then him living, and then he comes to this point where really he's going to fulfill what he came on earth to do. And that's why we celebrate Easter. So when I say happy Easter, I really mean it. Happy Easter to you and to all yours. Look at all you guys. You're all dressed so nicely. Cool. You're wearing a jacket this morning. You're looking fly, by the way. Good to see you. Cooley is our resident. He's our resident set of eyes. He sees everything. He sees it all, and he lets me know what's up, and I take that so graciously, and I love him for it. But I love Easter because we all dress up, we celebrate, and we get together, and we do the whole dinner thing. But really, it's a time to focus on Jesus. Amen. Last night, I was going to bed. I got to bed early because I have one service, and then I have another one I get to preach at. I don't know what I did to get a promotion, but I get to do it too. It's either a promotion or a demotion. Saying maybe this is the testing waters and we'll see how you do. I don't know how it is. Either way, I take it as a promotion. But last night I went to bed early because I knew I had to get a good night's rest, because sometimes when you preach, you give it all. You lay it all on the table and then you go home and you need to take a nap. And so I was like, I'm going to go to bed early. So I went to bed early, and you know, I talk about this often, about hitting that middle stage of life. And Melissa's been on me. She's like, Brian, you need to moisturize. Any ladies in the house like to moisturize? So it's this thing where you take cream and you put it on your face to keep it looking young, right? To keep away the wrinkles, amen? So I was like, you know what? I brushed my teeth. I got all ready. I did a little shaving. And then I was like, I'm going to moisturize. And I take the cream and I wipe it across my eyebrow here. And I do this one over here because I got a little bit of dry eyebrows. Look at these bushy things. That takes some maintenance to keep those things going, okay? And all of a sudden, my eyebrows start burning. And I realize I put toothpaste instead of moisturizer. So now it's burning, but the good news is I smell minty fresh. And so it was just that kind of type of day. But you know what? That did not distract me from what we are here to celebrate today. I went to bed not knowing if I would have any eyebrows in the morning, but praise the Lord, they're here, and we don't have to deal with that this morning. But Easter is a time when we remember and we celebrate Jesus. We remember what he did on the cross for us. The fact that he was willing to go to the cross on your behalf and my behalf, and willing to die a death that he didn't deserve. And that could be the end of the story. But our entire faith, our entire belief system relies on the fact that it wasn't the fact that he died, but it was the fact that 3 days later, all the power of heaven resurrected him from the death and raised him to life. And now you and I have the opportunity to have life today. Amen. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea. And I know that I can't get going too much with my stories, although I love sharing them with you. We do have another crowd that's going to be coming in shortly after this. And so I want to get into it. But before we do, let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for the season of Easter. And thank you for new life that comes with Easter. Lord, I pray this morning that you would speak to every single one of us. Lord, that your hand would be upon us, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear everything that you're doing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to start with a scripture. It was one of the first scriptures that I read when I was newly saved, when I newly became a Christian. It's one of these scriptures that you read and it's like, okay, yeah, that's, I get it. But as I get older in the faith, it means more and more and more to me. And that scripture is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this: to preach the message of the cross seems like sheer nonsense to those who are on their way to destruction. But to us, come on, say to us. To us, right, who are on their way to salvation, it is the mighty power of God released within us. Amen. And so I love this scripture because it talks about the cross. And it alludes to the fact that the cross is a dividing issue. It really is. When you come to think about it, the cross is where it all took place. The cross is where it happened. The cross was the point of death, but then it was also a signify new life on its way. And so it's a dividing issue. Some people, they just kind of snub their nose at it. They don't really take into consideration what it really meant, right? They're indifferent to the cross. Some choose to ignore it, while others use the cross as a fashion statement. I've seen people that live a life that is 100% contrary to Jesus and what he stands for, but yet they've got the biggest cross that you can see hanging off of a chain. They use it as a fashion statement. I've seen people do this, put it on their shirts or whatever. They wear it as if it's cool, and it is cool, but not for the reason that they think it is. And some say it's nonsense. Have you ever met someone who wants to debate you and talk about the cross and say it's utter nonsense? That's what the Bible's talking about. Some people would call it foolishness, and others might go so far as to say it is insignificant. Now, insignificant, that word, insignificant, I've heard this word thrown around a lot. And I've probably even used it in my own life concerning a lot of things. But I did a little thinking and meditating upon the word insignificant. And it really implies nothing special. Unimportant. Taken for granted. Ever take something for granted? Yeah, I have too. Too small to be noticed, of no consequence, influence, or distinction. Without weight. When it is insignificant, it does not carry any weight. Easy to overlook, irrelevant, meager, nondescript, of little value, easily and often disregarded, invisible, and lastly, can mean meaningless. Wow. That's the thought, my friends, that many people coming into Easter weekend have about the cross. But here, let's take it one step further. I've seen people, and I know people, and I have been that people, who would use that word, insignificant, to describe themselves. Of no value, meaningless, overlooked. These are the type of words that some people, the thought pattern that they develop concerning themselves. And I think that Easter is the perfect time to smash that word right out of our vocabulary. Amen. Then I want to talk to you about this. I'm glad you're riled up because it's the 9 a.m. service. And I'm happy that all of you were responsible and had coffee this morning because it's going to be good. That's the thought that a lot of people have about the cross, but it's also the thought that they have about their life. And why is it? Because they haven't got a revelation. They are missing understanding about what Easter is all about. You see, the world can often label people as significant. Come on. Some people receive VIP treatments. You ever get VIP treatments? You ever get it? It's lovely when you get VIP treatments, right? Yesterday when I got a car wash, I splurged. I got the deluxe model. That ain't cheap, my friends. But when I came out of that car wash, my car was crystal clean, shiny to the max. I will never go back to the basic car wash ever again. I felt like $1 million. I have been in restaurants where I have been treated as a VIP, and it makes you feel like $1 million. I am part of rewards program, that in the rewards program, it is VIP, very important person. And it makes you feel like $1 million. But the world will treat some people as VIPs and others not. And at times, this world, I've found this out, and it's sad to say, but this world will judge you. Come on. It'll judge you based on your background. It'll judge you based on the neighborhood that you grew up in. It will judge you on your education or lack thereof. This world will judge you on your failures, but it'll also judge you on your successes. It will judge you on the color of your skin, the size of your bank account, your title, your abilities, your looks. Come on, my friends. It'll judge you on a number of things. and it will try to label you as insignificant. Oh, man. My friends, this world will try to knock you down and it will try to make you believe that you are insignificant. But I'm here to tell you differently this morning. I am here to share with you that even though some people I know, and maybe you are one of them, have been overlooked, they've been forgotten about and completely disregarded, God never forgets. God never overlooks. He never disregards anybody, and no one is insignificant to him. See, people matter to God, and that's why people matter to us. It matters to us so much, it is written into our value system here at Capital City Church that Jesus is our message, people are our heart. Because we understand that what Easter was all about was Jesus taking what everyone else thought was insignificant and making it significant by the act of love that was displayed on the cross of Calvary. Come on, church. And so we're here today to remind ourselves that people matter to God, and therefore, come on, they matter to us. And that's why Easter is amazing. Because in a world where it seems so easy to be forgotten about, God never has forgotten about you, my friend. Never, ever, ever have you slipped his mind. There may be times in your life where you did your best to be forgotten. You might be times in your life where you tried outrunning God. There might be times where you tried to hide from God. There might be times where maybe even you tried to upset him so that he wouldn't love you. But my friends, the Bible declares that no matter where you go, no matter who you are, he loves you with a love that is unconditional. And that love will go down to the depths of hell and to the ceilings of heaven for you, my friend. And it was displayed on the cross of Calvary. And this is the story of Easter. There are no insignificant people. There are no insignificant moments. There are no insignificant words or actions when it comes to God. I want to read three scriptures to you just to prove this point. Isaiah 42:3 says this: he won't disregard the small and the insignificant. Wow. So even if you feel small, you ever feel small in this world? I love traveling, and I've traveled the world, and one of my favorite places on this entire earth is my dad's cottage. It's up north. There's no cell phone service. It's just you and whatever creaks in the woods. Come on. But sometimes I go at nighttime when I can muster enough bravery to step out into the pitch dark, and I stare. Because there's no light pollution, there's no lights anywhere, and I look up into the sky and I see a billion stars. And for a moment, I can feel so small, but yet in that moment, I feel so big because I know that God not only created those stars for the beauty, but he also created me. And when I think about how awesome he is and the plan that he has for my life, I don't have to ever feel small, nor do I ever have to feel disregarded, because the Bible says he won't disregard the small. So if you're feeling small, my friends, you're a candidate for a blessing of God. You're a candidate for a touch from a heaven. And so we're awesome about this. We're excited about this. Psalm 27:10, just to drive home my point this morning, it says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. You ever feel abandoned? Maybe not by your friends, maybe by the one you love, maybe by your sister, your brother, your closest friend. You ever feel like alone? Even though this world might choose to abandon you from time to time, the Lord will never. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you, the Bible says. Wow. Psalm 68:5 says this: Father of orphans, champion of widows, is God in his holy house. God makes home for the homeless and leads prisoners free. My friends, everyday, ordinary, normal, average, hurting, lonely, confused, forgotten, overlooked, little, not newsworthy, seemingly insignificant people matter to God. Say it with me this morning, I matter.
I matter.
Come on, say it for the people online so they can hear that you're here. I matter.
I matter.
I matter.
I matter.
You matter to God. You, yes, you, the one that's listening right now, even in questioning what I am saying right now, do I really? The answer is yes. You matter to God. Nothing and no one is insignificant to God. No words you speak, my friends. The Bible says that your tongue has the power of life and death. No words you speak, no moment you share, no action you take, no investment you make in somebody else's life is insignificant. He sees all. One of my favorite speakers said it this way, God keeps the books. Nothing slips by him. Nothing gets by him. He keeps the books. He knows where you are every single moment of every single day. And not only that, he knows you by name. Wow. Whew. This is the scripture that I really wanted to get to you this morning, and I'm so happy that I've gotten there. Isaiah 49. Verse 15 says this, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Now, I was thinking about this, and I had some great discussions with some men of God about this scripture and what they felt like it meant. And there could be many different variations of what this could mean, but let me present it to you this way. A loving mother cannot but concern herself over her newborn child, right? I've watched my wife turn into an amazing mother, and I'll be talking to her, and then all of a sudden she goes to her phone, and I almost get upset because I think that she's like just hopping on Instagram because whatever story I'm telling is not important enough for her to listen. Yeah, you know that ever happened, right? And here when I look over and peek over what she's doing, she's checking our son while he's taking a nap. We have an app where we can see and hear what's going on, and so she's checking him, and then anytime that he kind of makes a noise, she'll kind of peer over and just make sure he's okay, and I can tell that she's very watchful and that she's very careful and that she's very loving and that she cares for him so greatly that she can never forget him. But the Bible says, it says that even though a mother cannot help but concern herself over her newborn child, for it is a piece of her, yet in her humanity may at times forget. Not forget the child, but perhaps forget a feeding, perhaps forget to change a diaper, perhaps forget to do something that you know that you're just supposed to do. Because let's be real, when you have a kid, there's no sleeping. I mean, I think I've slept maybe 7 hours since he's been born. I'm doing all right for it. Thank God for Jesus and thank God for coffee, right? But it happens. Sometimes it's overlooked, and I'm guilty. I'll never point fingers at it. You know, Melissa will say, oh, did he eat? I'm like, oh. I put him down and I forgot to give him the bottle, so I'll double up when he wakes up. And it happens, and it's not malicious and it's not even intended, but it could happen. Let's just say that. It could happen. And so God's comparing the love that he has for you and I to the love that a mother, a caring mother, would have for their newborn. And he says, even though it could be possible that a mother could forget, I will never forget. I will never forget, for you are inscribed on the palms of my hand. We were singing a song just a moment ago about your name being written on his palms. And so I did some research about this, and I found out that what the scripture is alluding to is a custom to where they would tie string on their hands or their fingers to remind them of the things that were important. You see, back in these days, there was no calendar. There was no app to remind you of the things that you had to do. And so they were very practical, and they would take a piece of string and tie it around their finger or tie it around their hand so that they wouldn't forget the thing that they knew they were going to forget. And here God is alluding to that custom, saying, I've inscribed you on my hands so that I will never, ever forget. I don't believe God can forget. But a safeguard that he has put in place is that he's inscribed your name on his hands. You are on the forefront of what God is thinking about every day and every minute. Jesus, the Bible says, is the good shepherd. A good shepherd who leaves the flock in a safe place in order to seek out the individual who is lost. You, my friend, regardless of what the world has told you or how you may have felt when you got up this morning, you are not insignificant to God. I'm sorry to say it. You might want to feel insignificant. You might want to feel small. Maybe it brings you some sort of pleasure, but I'm here to announce to you, you are not insignificant in the mouth and in the words and in the heart and in the mind of the creator of all of heaven and earth. I would think that the one who created this world, the one who by his word is keeping this entire universe going and doing what it is supposed to do so that it doesn't go out into chaos, would not have time to think of little old me. And yet the Bible contradicts that idea and it contradicts that thinking and it tells him on the contrary, he is thinking about us all the time. Wow. God has a great track record of taking seemingly insignificant people and things and using them for his glory to accomplish incredible things. Even Jesus, my friends, think about this. Even Jesus came as an seemingly insignificant baby. Born in a manger, in a barn. Nothing special about that. With the most common of names of the time, to an insignificant couple in an insignificant town, spending most of his adult life working as an ordinary, insignificant carpenter. Never traveling more than 200 miles from his home, the Bible is filled with seemingly insignificant people, come on, who God used for significant things. Don't believe me? Here's a short list. I compiled some of my favorites in the Bible just to remind you how special you are today. Abraham was too old. You ever feel that, Matthew? Matthew, you ever wake up sometimes and your fingers are just cracking a little bit and like, oh, I gotta go. I don't know. Maybe you don't. Sometimes I wake up and go, ooh, and what are the words we say? I'm getting too old for this, right? Gideon had some serious fear issues. Isaac couldn't focus. Jacob was a big fat liar. Leah was unphotogenic, let's say. There were no filters in her time. That's what the Bible says. Joseph was abused, falsely accused, and ended up with a criminal record. A whole lot of people were too young, including Timothy. David had an affair and then murdered the lady's husband. Elijah was depressed to the point of giving up. Jonah was a runner. Isaiah preached naked. This would be a whole different sermon. Thank you, Lord, for not calling me to that one. Naomi was a widow. Job lost everything and went bankrupt. Peter turned his back on Jesus. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was a busybody. The Samaritan woman at the well was divorced more than once. Paul was a religious pain in the you-know-what. Lazarus, well, he was dead. Jesus used an insignificant boy's insignificant lunch to feed a crowd. He took a ragtag group of ordinary, unschooled men and used them to turn the world upside down. And my friends, he's still doing the same thing. He used an old, rugged cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb to make people like me and you who some would say are insignificant, significant. And that's what Easter is about. That he looked at this world with his eyes of love, and he looked to and fro, and what other people would shun, and what other people would turn away from, and what other people would dismiss as nothing, he saw value, and he put a plan in place. 1 Corinthians 1 says this way, "Brothers and sisters, consider who you were when God called you to salvation. Not many of you were wise scholars by human standards, nor were many of you in the positions of power. Not many of you were considered the elite when you answered God's call, but God chose those whom the world considers foolish to shame those who think are wise. And God chose the puny and the powerless to shame the high and mighty." I hope that I am building a case here that makes it obvious that God deliberately chooses men and women that others overlook. That's why he could take someone like me. That's why he could take someone like you. I'm going to pick on you for a minute. I'm done picking on me for a minute. I rub toothpaste on my eyebrows. I'm done. That's why God can take someone like you. And isn't it true that we know us? We give a different variation of ourselves to other people to save face, but we know us, do we not? Come on, church. Let's take an honest moment right now. We know our shortcomings, right? Come on. We know where we blow it. We know our weaknesses. Hey, we even know the thoughts that we think, and you know the thought that you're thinking right now. It could be awesome, or it could be woo, right? But you know you. You know you, and yet God deliberately chooses you. Even in your shortcomings, even in your failures, even in your doubts, he still chooses you. He chooses you when you don't even choose you. If God had a dodgeball team, and I remember many scars from dodgeball days when I was a kid, being picked last was the worst. And somehow God would pick all of us first to be on his team. He chooses that which this world calls insignificant to be significant. Now, Easter is a time, and I'm going to wrap this up very shortly, to stop and reflect and to think about the one who is always thinking about us. I'm not sure where you're at in life right now. Perhaps you are completely happy and satisfied with who you are. Maybe you came here today a little confused about the state of the world and how things may turn out. I myself will admit that I have seen the challenges in this past year, and I've seen my ability to pivot and to move as I need be, having our first child as if not challenging enough, having our first child in the midst of everything that's going on, that's crazy, right? And so maybe you've come in here and you're a little bit confused about where we are, but also where we're going. Is this thing ever going to end? Will I have to wear a mask for the rest of my life? The answer is no. But these are questions that we ask ourselves. Or maybe you're like many who have come through those doors, and maybe you just feel a little bit insignificant. Maybe you are feeling a little bit overlooked. Maybe you're just feeling a little overwhelmed. Well, the good news of Easter is that whatever state you find yourself in today, whatever state you find yourself in right now, rest assured that the creator of heaven and earth, the king of all kings, the miracle-working, grace-extending God has you on his mind this morning. See, I'm here to tell you that the day that they beat Jesus up without mercy, they did not hold back. You, my friend, were on his mind. When they mocked him and they spit on him, you were on his mind. When they stripped him of his clothing and argued over who got what, you were on his mind. And when they forced the crown of thorns upon his head, you were on his mind. when they forced him to carry the cross that he would eventually be nailed to, you were on his mind. And when he hung from a cross, bare for all to see, charged as a common criminal, and his only crime was love, you were on his mind. And as he cried out his last words, "It is finished," he was thinking of you. See, when everyone around, including his closest friends and his disciples, scattered and they believed that this was the end of an era, you, my friends, were still on his mind. And when they laid him in a borrowed tomb, you were on his mind. And as the power of death was trying to hold him down, you were on his mind. And glory to God, when he was raised from that tomb 3 days later, with the power of life in his hands, with the power over death and sin once and for all, my friends, you were on his mind. Because your name is written on his palms, never to be forgotten again. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. You see, Easter Sunday is not about what you wear, although I appreciate you all getting dressed up this morning. It's not about what you eat. It's not about the turkey or the ham or the scalloped potatoes. It's not about the chocolates that you hunted for this morning. It's not about any of that stuff, my friends, although that stuff is all fun and games. When it comes down to it, Easter is about the Almighty God and Everlasting Father coming to your rescue. Whew. Easter was a rescue mission. And what we could not do for ourselves, he did. You see, when Jesus was resurrected, hope was resurrected. Life was resurrected. And you have the opportunity today to have the same power change your life forever. Today is your day. I have been praying for you. We have been praying for you. And I believe that today is your day. And I believe that Jesus is looking at his hands. And what does he see? He sees the marks of the nails that pierced him, that held him to that cross. And he's not reminded of the pain or the struggle. He's reminded of you. Because your name is written on his hands forever. And so today, I think I hear a knocking. I hear a knocking sound, and I believe that Jesus is standing at the door of your heart. And all he's doing is knocking to see if you will let him in. The Bible says he wants to save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free once and for all. He doesn't want you carrying around the baggage or the luggage that we all so have. But today is your day of salvation. And so how do you answer him, my friends? It is so easy. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it is as simple as that. There is no need to overcomplicate it or oversell it. Because what Easter was about was that him raising from the dead to give you an opportunity to have life. And not only life here on this earth, but life for eternity. So, the Bible says, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And like any good gift, my friend, it's only a gift if it's received. I'm going to ask you to do something. Today, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And this morning, if you would like to receive the gift of salvation through Jesus, would you accept what he has done for you on your behalf? Will you trust him with your life? And if the answer is yes, if you're willing to go from an insignificant life to a life that has significance, importance, and value, then we are going to say a prayer, and you can repeat after me. Would you say this with me right now? Say, Jesus, thank you for paying the price for my salvation. I ask you to forgive me of every sin. I repent, and I'm purposing to change the way that I think and live. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, help me to learn about you and to grow in this kingdom lifestyle. I declare that you're my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for receiving me. And you know what he does? He receives you right now. He receives you by the grace. He receives you by his love. He puts his seal of approval upon your life, and he declares you to be significant. Significant enough that forever and all of eternity, your name is written on his hands. If you said that prayer today for the very first time, I'm going to encourage you. Would you let somebody know? Would you tell someone? And if you don't have anyone, would you tell us? Could you email us at info@capitalcitychurch.ca? We want to put some material into your hands to get you going on this journey in faith.